Fine. Baruch Hashem. So we're in the middle of the story of the Chacham Etam, right? The sophisticated and the simpleton. The Rav Nachman, the story is to wake us up a little bit. So we were speaking out yesterday how his minig was, he was accustomed to always be very happy. The simpleton was always very happy. He was always constantly happy. And we said he had all the foods and all the drinks and all the clothing that he wanted. He felt as if he had them. He didn't really have them, right? He felt as if he had all the clothing and all the drinks and all the food. Right, he tells his wife, give me to eat. She would give him a piece of bread. Piece of bread. Afterwards he would take it that he would, and he would eat it. Then he would say, give me beans with sauce. She would cut a piece and he would eat it and praise it. So we see how he's the opposite of the sophisticated, right? Because if you feel like Hashem owes you everything, Hashem owes me a nice meal, then when we get bread and water, we're very upset. What do you mean? Just bread and water for me? That's all I get? Just simple, that's all I get? Right. But when we realize how small we are, then the presence Hashem gives are very great. Me? Hashem doesn't owe me anything. Hashem owes me nothing. He said, I'll feed everybody. Fine, so he's feeding me. Hashem doesn't owe me anything. According to my actions, you think Hashem owes me? I know where I'm holding. I know I'm struggling to do good. I'm trying to stay away from bad. I know where I'm holding. Hashem owes me nothing. Then we can be happy with everything Hashem gives us. Even if it looks small, even if it looks very simple, then very happy. Mamash is the opposite of the Chacham. We said about Masechet Makot, right? Finish Masechet Makot, Baruch Hashem. We learned Masechet Makot, right? And someone said, oh, big deal, such a small Masechet. Right? Big deal, you finished it, right? Who cares, 24 daf. Right, Akiva, big deal. What's the answer? It's true. If you think you're so big, then it's true. What's the big deal? It's just small mistake. I'm so great. I deserve to finish out.
24 holds up.
If you realize I deserve nothing. I know I don't do so my mitzvah so properly, and I do others, and I'm, this is my unfortunate situation. And Hashem still helped me come to yeshiva day after day. Hashem gave me the opportunity to learn 24 daf Gemara, and they made small mistakes of people like me. You get the light right there. There's a light that comes down every time you complete a masechta, so that is very big. You're very happy. You could be dancing.
Right? But, 23.
The first daf is the chapa. You're learning Talmud Bavli and what masechta is. It's also learning. It's learning masechta. So, right? It's very big. I come to yeshiva. I learn. So I'm very happy. It's all how much you think you own. The simple thing to realize that Hashem owes me nothing. Whatever I get, he's always positive, and then he's thankful. How can you be thankful? Rav Arash says you have to be thankful, have emunah. How do you be thankful? If I deserve something that's coming to me, you don't thank them, right? If you come home and you expect your wife to make you food, right? You're not so thankful because I expect it, right? She has to, what do you mean, right? So you don't really thank her. You say thank you, don't really mean it. I come home thinking my wife, she does not have to do anything. She could make me tuna fish and bread. That's all she has to do.
She has to make
a tuna fish? No, it depends on her job. She doesn't have to work really. She really doesn't have to work really. So if you make her work, then you can't ask for other things. No, she doesn't. She's not chayav to make you food. She's chayav to take care of the house. But she doesn't have to make you food. But, unless she's making money for you to buy food, I don't know if she has to make you food.
When by a wedding, I heard it says that the wife doesn't help until shit. The husband has to do tough to Lashel, to make it, as a sponge, to hear like every single thing in the set of the tough. He just has to do tough.
It has a lot to do with our mindset. If our mindset is Hashem owes me nothing, I know Hashem owes me nothing, and according to my actions, for sure, I'm in debt. I'm really indebted to Hashem. I'm really in debt. Hashem should be giving me a lot of punishments. But Hashem is helping me. Then I can be thankful to Hashem and to other people like him. He was thankful even for the most simple things. He was very thankful. Hey, come home, we can thank the wife, thank other people. Thank the yeshiva. They don't owe me anything. They don't owe us anything. What do they owe? The yeshiva owe you anything? Yeah, they owe you anything. They owe you anything? They ever owe you anything? They don't owe us anything. Oh, that is good. You're invited. I'm waiting for you.
Is this even Hazarada? Or are we going for...
Plug the phone.
Huh?
I'll tell you from...
Is there a Hazarada? Is there a Hazarada in the line with...
We're going forward. What do you want to do?
No,
because I don't want to do that job. We're already forward.
Okay.
Tell him.
I'm going to tell you.
Everybody does their own thing. I don't know. Oh, so he said that he was so happy. We have to try to be happy with everything. Hashem owes us nothing. Hashem, we have to humble ourselves. It's really hard. We have to humble ourselves and really realize that Hashem owes us nothing. To humble ourselves, right? The Raj said that part of the half hour, right? Raj is very involved in trying to daven a half hour, a kedusha, personal holiness every day. He said, for sure, what goes into that half hour? He said, definitely, humbling ourselves goes into that half hour. Right? The Raj said, we should try to daven in our Torah to do, put a half hour into davening a personal holiness. He said, definitely, what's directly connected is davening on humility. Because it's directly connected. Right? That's the pasuk. The pasuk says, someone who's a Baal Gaiva, says someone who has arrogance is going to fall. It means that he'll fall to an Eishes Esh, he'll fall to be with another married woman.
Right? Have...
Someone who has the pasuk is a pasuk. Says a person who is arrogant, an arrogant person, is going to fall into Eishes Esh, they're going to fall into a virus. That's the thing Gemara says. That's the pasuk says. Now, what does that mean? That now, and Chazal say, Eishes Esh doesn't actually mean, it means looking at her is worse than actually doing that here itself. The person is arrogant, they think, I deserve this and I deserve that. Then, arrogance is the worst thing. So he says, part of the half hour, for sure, definitely said, going to that half hour, for sure, it's all the same topic as davening on humbling ourselves, on humility. It's not easy to be humble. It's very hard to be humble. It's not easy at all. But, however, Rav Nachman says, what's the Eitzah? How do we be humble? It's very hard to humble ourselves, to start making myself like nothing. So we already feel like, Nachon, it's very hard to realize that I'm nothing. It's very hard to really feel that I'm really nothing. And even to feel like I'm lower than my own level I'm on. Rav Nachman says, to be lower, be more humble than people who are higher than me. Be more humble than people on the same level as me. Even on my own level, be more humble than my own level. I have to be more humble than myself. It's very hard. So that's what Nachman Torah Vav explains to us how to do it. How do we be humble? It's basically impossible for us.
Nachon,
but we still have guys. Every time we get upset, means we have gaiva. We just wanted A and it didn't happen the way we wanted, so I'm upset. Every time we get annoyed, which is just a. It doesn't mean, it means I'm missing humility. If I'm humble to Hashem, I'm humble. It doesn't mean like humility to people under Hashem. I'm humble. I know Hashem owes me nothing, and Hashem is helping me. And Hashem owes me nothing. I would never get upset. I would never get annoyed. What's annoyed? Annoyance is just being annoyed is just a small level of anger. What's annoying? What does it mean to be annoyed? It's a low level, it's a light, it's anger light. What's annoying? What do you mean I'm annoyed? It's a light upsetness. So anytime, even though it's the smallest way I'm annoyed, that means I have gaiva. If I got annoyed just now, it means I have gaiva, that I wanted something to be a certain way. And it's not the way I want it, so I'm annoyed. I mean, I'm not fiddling myself.
It's
always annoyed when it comes
to
no, so there's different levels of gaiva. That's a very low level of anger. It's a low level of anarchy. It's a me of selfishness, but real gaiva could bring a person. So what's the eighth etiquette out of gaiva? So Rav Nachman says in Torah Vav, so Rav Ash wrote in one of his pamphlets, one of his Margaliot, that if you tell a guy, work on coming, that I'm working on not running after my honor, I'm being humble, then you do something to me, he gets upset 2 seconds later. If I thought you were humble. Saying, it's very hard, the way to work in Rav Nachman teaches us is to take the covet and bring the covet to Hashem. We want covet, or we're in a Shema, or in a Shema it's called Kvaiti, we're very high, we're made of very high stuff. It's very hard, especially for a Jew, to humble yourself, you're nothing, you're a piece of garbage. It's very hard. It's almost impossible, especially for a Jew, to humble ourselves, because we are telling like, if you tell me be nothing, hold myself as nothing, but I am something, I am huge. It's a little bit, it's almost impossible for us. So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is, take the cover that I want, and bring it to Hashem. Who said that? Zechana?
But
Hashem. That is Hashem. Which means, that everything's like, not that I'm a piece of garbage, and I'm a dirt rake, so nothing doesn't matter what anybody says to me, or how my life is, doesn't matter. I can just be a shalom. No, we turn the cover to Hashem, which means anything that happens to me. So now there's a cover question involved. I wanted an A, and now my cover is not being fed, so I'm going to get upset. But now, when the whole Torah above is trying to focus on the tikkunim, right? The tikkunim for Elo, right? The whole thing is trying to focus on bringing the cover back to Hashem. Every time something doesn't go my way, but I wanted it to go my way. Say, Noah, give it to cover to Hashem, but it's Hashem's way. So we're not getting out of the covet. Instead of directing the covet to me, I'm saying, instead of honoring myself, redirecting the honor to Hashem. But I want this to be this way. Don't get upset. You know why? Because Hashem wants different. So I have to redirect the honor. Just to say, forget about honor, it's almost impossible for us. Our job is to redirect that honor. Redirect that desire for honor is something went wrong in my life. So I want to get upset because it didn't go the way I wanted. Someone didn't give me honor. Someone embarrassed me, insulted me. That's the whole Torah. Someone insulted. I want to recover. I'm upset.
What's the first step?
First step is to be silent. Someone says something to me, someone does something to me, be silent. Even if something went wrong, be silent inside. Don't even be upset inside. It's even a higher level. Not only in the outside, even on the inside. First step is, Renachman says, Torah Vav, be silent. If it's physically and emotionally, be silent. Don't say it. Don't try not to be upset. But how do I do that? I'm upset. Something didn't go my way. Something's driving me crazy. The answer is, remember, it's from Hashem. Bring that honor that I want. The honor didn't go my way. And I wanted to go. I'm upset. Bring the honor back to Hashem. Redirect that desire for honor and that want for honor. And it's a good, because every Yitzhahara is a distorted Yitzhahara. Every Yitzhahara is just confusing us. There is a need for honor, but not for me. Redirect that honor to Hashem. And that's the way that we could possibly negate our own honor. The point is not just to forget about honor and that's it. So a person, they don't care about their own covet. So now what? The point is to redirect it to Hashem. I don't need the honor because this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants me to get insulted? Fine. So by me being quiet, I'm redirecting that honor. Instead of being upset and worrying about my own honor, I'm redirecting and giving it to Hashem. We're creating malchus. That's who creates Hashem's malchus in this world. That's what our whole job is. To create Hashem's kingdom in this world. To reveal Hashem's name in this world. That's what Rav says, the biggest way to make all these tikkunim for Elul, it's coming Elul, it's almost Elul. Tammuz, we're learning Tammuz, Tammuz of Elul. Less than 90 days to Rosh Hashanah. And that's the whole thing of Elul. So they say, if you want to start, with the time to start working in Elul, the Bala Musa is in Tammuz and Av, so you don't fall down in the summer months. Bigger Yitzhahara, the Shmiras Yinayin. You want to start, the work on Elul doesn't start in Elul. The work on Elul starts now. Try not to fall, so you don't have to come back up in Elul. So we're starting to work at Elul now, Torah Vav, right? The sixth Torah, Kutum Ra, that explains over there all the huge, deep secrets from the Arizal of creating the Malchus and having all these mystical concentrations. Rav Nachman teaches us, even us, we could also fix up our whole year in Tikkun Elul. How do we fix up that Arizal's Tikkun Elul? How do we do that? First, by reading Torah Vav and going through the Tikkunim. Also, this is the main way to do it, by being silent. And not looking for my own honor, because realizing I owe nothing, and redirecting the honor to Hashem, that's Tikkun Elul. That's how we fix up Elul. That's what fixes up for all our worst Averas. Because what's the Avera? Avera is, I looked at my honor. My honor is more important than Hashem's kingdom. My cover is more important than Hashem's cover. So the whole tshuva is to keep redirecting that honor, the whole Elul. And it makes it much easier once I'm focused on what I'm doing. I come home, and my wife's screaming at me. I'm in a certain place, someone insults me. So, I'm not screaming, she's telling me I did wrong. So the eitz is, stop, don't say anything back. Just remember, this is from Hashem. This is from Hashem. Someone says anything to me, this is Hashem. That's really the whole avodah of Elul, that's the main focus of Torah Vav, especially with the wife, is trying to redirect the covenant, redirect that desire for covenant, redirect it to Hashem. It's not easier, it's avodah, it's a very big avodah, you need to take a lot of effort and davening. But at least we have a kivun, we have a direction to go and to be like the Tam. I owe nothing. Hashem owes me nothing. No one owes me anything. I would have been my honor. My honor is not the most important thing. But what? So then what? We redirect Hashem's honor. Which means that people could give me honor if directed to Hashem. It's okay. That's the highest thing, is to get honor and directed to Hashem. Right? It's good to get honor, but then directed to Hashem. People give honor for learning Torah. But good, you have to stand up. Someone taught you to stand up. But that honor is not for that person. If that person wants cover, then he's a fool. You want cover? Anyone wants cover, they it's one of the three things that take a person out of this world, right? But the point is to honor Hashem, right? And to teach that person that they should honor other people. That's some of the Elul. So Hashem was talking already in there. The Elul, Kavanas Elul. All the deep secrets of Kavanas Elul, and Nahum tells us, you don't have to be a Mekubal like the white coat, like with a candle in some attic at 3 o'clock in the morning. To fix up Elul. Even we could fix up that Arizal's Kavanas Elul, even we could do it. By us being silent and redirecting the Kavanas to Hashem, that's Elul. And if you notice, it comes on, you don't have to work on Elul. Some people say, how do I work on Elul? So I heard, this week I'll tell you a good thing, he said, someone said, you don't have to look for Elul will find you. That's what he said. Especially in this idiot, if you know, And some people, they don't even know, they're not lucky enough to know what El is all about. They're especially, and they get so upset when people say things wrong to them. They don't realize the Ikra of El is humbling ourselves and redirecting the Kavod Hashem. That tshuva, what's the biggest tshuva?
The tshuva, Hashem has sent you the Nisayon.
Achad, but that is what Nachum said, that is the highest tshuva. That is what makes, because you know, when we do tshuva, we're not doing it all, we want to do tshuva 100% properly. The thing, what could, that's what Nachum was talking about, how do we complete the tshuva, right? We did out here, we tried to do tshuva.
The same situation again, and then,
Oh, but Kavod situation, he says even more when we want Kavod. Because the main point of the Avera, the main pinnacle of the Avera, the main thing that drove us is that we wanted our honor more than Hashem's honor. So the main tikkun for all the Averas is to be silent. So it says to me, be silent. It says, he then be silent, the Yishtak even try to be quiet inside. Even on the inside, try to be silent. That's going to be, that's the pinnacle, that's the point that I'm trying to get to in my tshuva. That will make you get the tshuva
straight.
Outside is one level, and then that higher level, even inside,
so
don't
that
be upset.
To give you the tshuva to be on the outside?
Hashem judges every person on their level. Yes.
But we're all on such low levels. We have to
it's true. For us, halavai, you're right, halavai, we should get to being quiet on the outside, and hopefully we'll get to the inside. Definitely the first thing is, definitely right, the first thing is to be quiet. If you look in El, it's coming, it's almost El, it's right, time was up. But everything's from Hashem, talking about El. That, you know, in Brazil they say Tammuz, the month Tammuz is Rosh Tevas. The Zayin is Zmane, the time of Tshuva. The Mash Mashin Ubaim, right on the board. The Tammuz is the time of Tshuva is coming. Because El is ready, Rosh is ready coming. That's the time of, but, right there.
Right, the Zayin is Zmane, Zmane is time, Tshuva. Right, Zmane, the time for Tshuva. It's Mamash Mashin, meaning it's coming very close. It's like Mamash Tshuva. Ubaim, and it's coming. They're coming. The time for Tshuva is
it's on its way.
It's on its way.
Is it more words, or you have to
say it? No, say it. Go ahead. One, two, three, four.
Tammuz is ready. In Tammuz, you already see that the time for Tshuva, right, is Mamash Mashem is coming. It's coming close. Now you don't have to wait till and I'm sure that the Mash Mashim is coming.
It's coming.
It's like Mamash, yeah. And it's Obam, it's coming.
It's being felt.
Right,
it's,
you're feeling it. Mamash, like Mamashut.
It's
tangible, like.
Tangible.
Like tangible, it's coming. Basically, it's coming soon.
That's why this month is the end.
Because this month.
The effort is in front.
Tammuz, right? Also, Tammuz is Rosh Tevis, where Rachel says, Zichru Taras Moshe. Because right, sometimes Tammuz is spelled without a Zayin.
Tammuz also is, if you're in like this, Tammuz, right, Tammuz. Because in Chazal, Tanakh is wrote sometimes without a Tav. Right? So Zichru is to remember.
Moshe.
One, two,
right,
this one, Zichru, remember, Tav is Tarez Moshe, Moshe Rabin. Right.
There's a book called the Zichrus Torah Mishnah Moshe.
Yeah.
It's by the Hayada. Talks about the Shabbos.
Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos. But here that was so bad that because in this month, what was the on Shabbos Matam was next. This coming Sunday.
Shabbos.
Shabbos Matam.
Exactly. Shabbos.
It's pushed off.
Shabbos or Shabbos.
The fast of Shabbat Tammuz is going to be this Sunday. And what happened Shabbat Tammuz? One of the five things that occurred that we're fasting to remember to do tshuva on is that the luchos were broken. Right? On Shabbat Tammuz. Right?
That's why we fast?
That's one, yeah. One of the reasons we fast, one of the five reasons. And we fast to remember that the reason why it happened was because we did Averus. And we should also remember, and the Rambam said, we fast in order to remember that now also our Averis bring us all our problems. If you do tshuva, remember.
We won't have problems.
Right. Ain't you to remember like Avon. We won't have problems. But it says, Zichru Taras Moshe means remember the Torah of Moshe. Why do you have to remember the Torah of Moshe in Tammuz? Because the luchos were broken during this month. And it says, before the luchos were broken.
Broken on Shabbat Tammuz?
Before the luchos are broken, if you would learn Torah, the way it was, if you learn Torah, you'll remember it forever. It's eternal, right? And when you have to do chazar, you keep on, but you'll keep on going. There's tons to learn. Don't worry, you'll always have to learn. Don't worry.
And that was before they even had all the mafarshim and everything.
It was all from Moshe Rabbeinu. All the mafarshim were there already. It was simple to.
That's So you'd have to observe, so you'd just be able to learn it and know.
Keep on learning and know everything.
I think Avraham Avinu had 400 vasectors on the Veda Zohar.
Yeah. Yeah. As they say, 4%.
So what are the vasectors?
What's all this stuff today is
they narrowed it down because there was other things for us to learn. In Avraham Avinu's time, they need 400 vasectors. We don't need it now.
Right, we don't have it. So it's a har from a desire. So we're saying that Zichur Toras Moshe means that since on Shavuos Matan was, since the luchos were broken, what did we lose? So who cares? We got new ones. But we lost, and now we forget Torah. We got the punishment, now forget Torah. It says when the, so just like it's a Chazal say, when Moshe broke the luchos, when the Moshe broke the luchos, there were spiritual letters on it, right? We know that the letters on the luchos were hanging in the air, very spiritual. We were able to see them both ways. The mem in the middle was hanging in the air. Everything was very spiritual. So now when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the physical luchos, he dropped them, or said it got too heavy, he had to drop them. Then what happened to the letters? All that spirit said the letters perchos by they went flying in the air. And just like those letters went flying out, us also now are when we learn, the letters just go flying away. We lose our Torah. Unless you need Chazar, a lot of tefillah to remember. You could daven to remember Torah. We need a daven. But especially Shavuos Matan, but so specifically during this time of Tammuz, it's good to do Chazar. So maybe soon, when we get after the new Mishnah, during Tammuz, we're going to do a special way of type of Chazar. We're going to learn, first we're going to Chazar, we're going to learn in Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, what we learned the whole Zman. It's once the whole Siman, and a big part of another Siman. That's the Shem, to do Chazar during Tammuz, we take apart to learn the Halacha on Beis Tavah. Also remember Taras Moshe, the Taras of the Tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu is a tzaddik. Also remember the Torah of the tzaddik. It's also good to get involved.
Does he remember all of it?
I don't know. Mashiach comes. I don't know.
What?
Are we going to remember Torah then? I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know. It's connected.
It was a kid that.
Yeah.
Well, was somebody that Malach did hit him here?
They don't know why it happened.
Huh?
They don't know why it happened. Yeah, but
yeah. Why it happened? Oh,
no, because I don't know if the Malachi Shor forgot to hit him. That seems like
supposedly it was
already.
Why did they just leave him?
Because he
did.
When they have a
scar, learn. No, it was complicated. No. I'm not sure why they didn't leave him. It's a very complicated story. His.
The Shor just let him be.
You went there, so you didn't.
The Tzaddikim took care of him. I think there was something else involved. They was an interesting story.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyways, but it's interesting to know. It's just interesting you brought up. So basically, we're saying Elul. First of all, Tammuz is coming Elul. So we're ready Kedai to start working on the being quiet when other people insult us. Because if you look around in Elul, there's people getting insulted. If you're really supposed to have people going on in Elul, really divide the Elul to be quiet, where people say things to you, things happen. You'll see all over the place people getting into fights and whatever. They don't realize that it's an opportunity to do tshuva. In Elul, sometimes I see people that are not pressed or they don't know Torah above. Okay, I feel like just like telling them, give them like kutum around, put them in their face. Like, this is Elul, just be quiet now. You'll get your tshuva. Just be quiet. Hashem, it's Elul. You want to do, you ask Hashem, help me do tshuva. It's Elul. You want to get involved. Just, you don't understand that one of the main ways to do tshuva in Elul, of course, is to become better and do a study of this and try to learn and daven better. But the main ways of tshuva, which we can fix up, which the highest to fix the malchus, is to be quiet. And not just be quiet. Be quiet in itself is not enough. So put a muzzle on you. It's to be quiet. Why am I being quiet? Most importantly, to remember it's Hashem, to redirect the kavod to Hashem instead of to me. That's the tshuva. But of course, it takes humility. It takes to be like a top. And even in Elul, things don't go our way. We don't have all the things we want. So it's kedai to be especially humble, especially now. It's Tammuz, who says Mani Tshuva Masha Obama. It's calling Elul. It's very kedai to work on this. It just came out. Hashem sent me. That's what we're saying. Tammuz, Mani, don't say like you. Comes Mom. Then he said, "What do you mean? 2 months to Elul." Comes Rav Nachman says, "No, Tammuz is Mani Tshuva Masha. It's coming soon. It's already up. It's already the last quarter of the year. It's already less than 100 days. Not so much. It's less than 90 days already to Rosh Hashanah. It's not so long." But it's because of the Yemen Day, there's a judgment coming. We need to do tshuva. So start doing tshuva, try to not fall on Shmuel Zayin, so we don't have to do more tshuva. Try to start already, try to remember the tzaddikim's Torah, remember review the Torah. But it's an interesting story. Fine, so that's about Elul. Now, There was an interesting story brought up in the back of the peanut gallery that there was once a boy born in Yerushalayim. Now the shiur is over. We're about to leave. Now stop saying it's just an interesting story. You want to hear the story? There was a boy, maybe more than 50 years ago, a long time ago, born in Yerushalayim, and he knew all the Torah. He didn't. Sure. He was born. He knew everything. He started talking at a very young age, like 2 years old. At a very young age, he started talking. They saw he was a very smart kid, and he knew everything. Everything, every chumash, every mishnayis, every gemara, every rishon, every achron, even from our days, he knew everything. And the wrestlers, they asked him. The reason why I'm saying the story is interesting is they asked him about the Sefer Nisra. Would have been a good idea, but they didn't ask him about the Sefer Nisra. They asked him about the story in the 13th story of Sipur Maisias, his introduction there that starts off, and Rahu says, Asab al-Kham, I'll tell you how they were happy. Referring to the children that were lost in that story, the seven beggars. Right? So they wanted to know, is that part of the story? Or is that just like not really part of the story? And the story really starts from like where the story starts. So they asked him, where does the story start? I heard this over from Ramesh Abitzak. He said, not Ramesh Abitzak, from Rav Kivak.
They asked
him, he was a few years old, 4 or 5 years old. They wanted to know where the story really starts. So when he started the story, he said, how's the 12th story for Imrach, a restless for Maisiyah start? He knew all the Torah. And he knew Torah, the 13th story. Yeah. So he told him, he said, it starts from Asap Elchem Echa Yusmechem. It starts with one, I'll tell you how they were happy. So he said, that's where the story really starts. Because I think his uncle, his brother-in-law was a breastfeeder. Someone in the family is a breastfeeder. So they asked him, they wanted to know. I don't know why, they weren't sure where the story started. To them, it made a difference where the story starts. But he knew Sipur Maisiyah. It's Torah. He knew all the time. He didn't know Shittos. He knew everything was Torah. So if you want to know if it's Torah, Sipur Maisiyah is Torah. He knew the Sipur Maisiyah. He knew exactly what they were talking about. He said, where did the 13th story start? He said, it starts with this, with the introduction. He said, that's part of, that's where the story starts. I mean, it's not like an introduction. That's the beginning of the story.
So what happened?
So then, the end of the story was the tzaddikin didn't like it. I'm not sure exactly why.
They were jealous?
They weren't jealous. It could be they were afraid that it was Toma. I'm not sure exactly why. I don't know. He said because they wanted him to get schar.
That's what I heard.
So if you got schar, writing over his farm.
I don't know exactly what the story was. It wasn't a normal case. It was something wrong. I'm not sure exactly. Who took him in? Tzaddikin felt that there was something wrong there. I don't know. I said, I don't know. Yeah. Go do your free search and try to find out what the problem was and ask big tzaddikim. I'm not a tzaddik. Tzaddikim.
Yeah, he thought Hashem did a mistake, that he did something wrong.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. The tzaddikim thought that something was wrong. I think, if you ask me, I don't know anything, but personally, I have the same strategy why they stopped. It could be that thought it had to do with Tumah, or something came from Tumah. You could get things from the other side also. That's my personal
belief. Fine.
Okay. So basically, who took him in? The Balderam? Who took him in? There's a big tzaddikim involved. Basically, they took him into a room for a few minutes, and he came out, he didn't know anything.
Whoa.
He knew nothing. It seems that had to do with Toma. He basically like, took it away. I don't know. It was a very interesting story. Basically, Tzaddik could take it away like that. It wasn't so simple that he was such... Well, he said he gave him a flick. It's not so question. No one knows what happened in the room. The answer is no.
There's a flick from the mouth,
So he didn't see it. So very simple.
So the gave a flick.
Fine. Anyways, you can do research on the story. Flicking guys would help. It seems like he did something, and the family, the family was very upset that they took away their major guy. That's their mistake. Their star attraction.
What happened?
Nothing. He didn't know anything. He was a regular kid after. They said after his mom was nothing special. Nothing. I don't know. That's what they said. I don't know what they mean by that. But they say his mom was like nothing. I heard, it could be used even like something not special, but they said his mom's like after that, like he was like, they asked him after he was like something, they said after he was nothing special. I'm not sure what that means. I'm sure he knew, they were very upset about it. Yeah, he was also upset about it.
How old
was
he when
he was a few years old. I'm not sure it was the Belgian, I'm not sure who it was. Because you can research the story, it's a very famous story, it's Kibbutz Shlaim, but no one knows what they did in the room, what the person did in the room, the big rabbi did in that room exactly. No one knows exactly what happened. What? Basically, that was just a story brought up, but it was interesting to note that he said, Asap Lacham, he said this way the story, just if you want to know if it's Torah, because remember that it's definitely part of the Torah, the story.
Is,
it could be that was the whole point. Once he left the world, Once he left, that's it. Then there's no more point to know. The whole point is to know about the Sefori Maisi.
Did anyone else ask any other questions?
Yeah, that's a question. Yeah, sure. Shaina Machrayna, they asked him a lot. They used to talk to him. He knew even the regular Achrayna, the Sefori Maisi written today, he knew everything. Everything was Shaina Machrayna, everything. The guy knew everything.
He kept it in a box.
Okay, that's just an interesting story to him.
Wow.
You can look up the story for research, I'm sure. I'm sure I left that detail because research this story. I'm sure you can Google his story. The kid who knew everything and Yushalayim, Mary Kaddish. Maybe he's too Kaddish to be on Google. He's too Kaddish before this time.